You're listening to The Naked Scientists. It's now time to go back to Dave and Ben, who are exploring the chemistry of fizzy water.
Welcome back to this week's Kitchen Science, where I'm literally fizzing with anticipation to find out what the difference is in chemistry between fizzy water and normal still tap water. So Dave, can you take us through what we've got set up?
Okay, I've got some red cabbage water. That's basically just perfectly normal uncooked red cabbage mushed up in some tap water, which produces this sort of purpley coloured solution. And I've put a little bit of this solution in two glasses, maybe only 3 or 4 millimetres in the bottom of each glass. I'm now going to put some normal tap water in one of the two glasses.
Well, clearly it diluted it, and so it doesn't look as strong, it's not quite as opaque as it was before, but it's still a lovely inky purple-blue colour.
Yep, that's what you'd expect. The water in Cambridge is slightly alkaline, so it's going to produce this bluish colour.
Okay, and now we need to make some of that self-same tap water fizzy, so we're going to put it into your fantastic retro soda siphon.
That's the plan.
So how much does your soda siphon take? How much water will it hold?
Probably 2/3 of a litre or so.
And it looks as if it's made out of similar stuff to, say, a thermos flask.
This one is made out of aluminium. It just needs to be a fairly strong bottle, because it's going to take quite a high pressure in a minute.
And then we have our special little canister, a bulb of CO2. Now, this screws onto the side of the soda siphon, and there's a cap that goes over the top.
This cap is actually pushing it onto a little spike, a hollow spike, that pushes the spike through the end of the bulb, which lets the pressurised carbon dioxide from inside the bulb into the bottle.
And this is why it needs to be quite well built, because actually that's under quite high pressure.
It will probably go up to sort of 5 or 6 atmospheres at least, yes. Okay, so now I'm going to screw it on tight and break the seal.
That was a brilliant noise. I assume what happened there was the spike broke the seal, all of that compressed CO2 got pushed into the water. But how does that actually make it fizzy? Won't it just displace some water and sit at the top being a gas?
Well, carbon dioxide is actually quite soluble in water. And that's because carbon dioxide, CO2, will actually react with water molecules. So a CO2 molecule reacts with an H2O water molecule to form H2CO3. This means you can dissolve an awful lot more CO2 gas in water than you could do other gases which don't react with water, like oxygen or nitrogen.
Why do you have to have so much pressure?
Well, this reaction is reversible. It can go in both ways. The water can react with carbon dioxide molecules, or they can split up again and the carbon dioxide can escape. This means that if you want to get lots of carbon dioxide inside the water, you have to have a lot of carbon dioxide there. So the more carbon dioxide you put above the water, the more of it's going to work its way into the water and you're going to get more dissolved and you get more carbonated water.
But what has that done to the chemistry of the water? I think we need to find out by mixing it with your cabbage solution, don't we?
Yeah, we'll try the second glass.
Wow. Well, it obviously spluttered a bit to begin with, but the colour difference is really obvious. It's pink.
Yes, and like litmus, if red cabbage water is pink, that means it's acidic. So the carbon dioxide solution is obviously acidic.
So not only have we made this water fizzy, but we've also made it more acidic. What's actually happened?
Well, there's actually another reaction going on here. The H2CO3, which we created by reacting carbon dioxide and water together, can also split up to form H pluses, 2H pluses, and CO3 minus, 2 minus. These H pluses then stick to a water molecule to form HCO plus, and these hydronium ions, as they are called, will then float around in the water. And if you've got something with lots of H plus, lots of hydronium ions, then it's an acid.
So how does the change in acidity lead to the change in colour?
Well, some of these hydrogen ions will then go and react with the anthocyanin dye molecules from the red cabbage, and they change its colour.
And so we get a change from this sort of inky blue through to this girly pink.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
There's also CO2 in the atmosphere. In fact, we hear a great deal about how much CO2 we have put into the atmosphere since the Industrial Revolution. So does this mean that the same thing happens in our rivers, our lakes, and in the sea?
Yes, and it always has done. The carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will dissolve in water, make it slightly acidic. This acid will actually dissolve things like limestone. So water running through limestone will tend to dissolve it, and it creates caves.
But is it a problem, therefore, that we've been putting more and more CO2 into the atmosphere? As you said, the more there is above the water, the more there is that can get in.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, the oceans are a major sink of carbon dioxide. It just dissolves in them. And as it dissolves, it will make them more acidic. Now, there has been some research which says that the more acidic the oceans get, the more carbon dioxide that's dissolved in them can start causing problems for creatures with shells made out of essentially limestone calcite. So things like oysters and, say, corals. So even if you don't think that the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is going to warm up the world, it's certainly going to do things to the pH of the oceans.
So that's certainly something to think about. Thanks very much, Dave. Well, we are going to put some videos and some pictures of this onto the website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. So if you want to have a go at home with your soda stream or your 70s soda siphon, then please give it a go and let us know what you find. We'll be back with more Kitchen Science next week.
So making water fizzy by adding carbon dioxide also makes it more acidic, as proven by that stinky red cabbage water. And that's the same thing that's going on in our oceans, and it's really threatening the world's shellfish and coral reefs and all sorts of creatures that are very important. There are pictures and video online now at www.thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. So go and check it out. Why not? And even if you don't have a soda stream or any red cabbage, then there's bound to be an experiment there that you'd like to try with things you've got lying around at home. And next week, Dave will be live in the studio with another experiment that you can try out at home.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week on the show. Many thanks to Anthony Challoner and David Aldridge for joining us, especially David for bringing his mitten crab. That was the cutest thing I've seen, and unfortunately I wasn't allowed to eat it. Thanks also to our production team, Diana O'Carroll, Mira Senthilingam, Tom Simpkins, who is doing the desk tonight, and Ben Valsler. And finally, thanks to all of you at home for listening. Next week we're going through our mailbox of great science questions, seeing if we can find the answers for you. And if you want to hear your questions answered on the show, then get them into chris@thenakedscientist.com. If you'd like to hear the show again, or catch up with any old shows you've missed, you can download The Naked Scientist podcast for free, no money at all, from www.thenakedscientist.com/podcasts. So have a great week and goodbye from us.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.